And at this time, it's my great honor and privilege to introduce to you the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins.
Oh, yes. Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. One of the things that I have to say about Pastor is when he brings things like he's been bringing this feast, it is true. We find out what little we actually know, no matter who we are, what school we went to, or anything. For if this is the work of Yahweh, worldly things are of no relevance. Now, we are rapidly approaching the conclusion of the 2014 CE Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. When the sun sets, the feast will be ended. Now, most people in this world associate Passover as a time when a lamb, a calf, a kid, or a fawn, or other young ruminant animal is slaughtered and cooked up first as a sacrifice to atone for the wrongdoing of those offering this animal, and second, to have a happy, most happy type meal together, much like a barbecue, it would seem, and really nothing more. For some, this ritual is as important to them as Christmas is to the Christian religion. Now, the law of Yahweh does command that at Passover, lambs be offered up as a sacrifice. There's no question about this. Turn to page 54 in the book of Yahweh. We're going to look at Exodus 12, verses 5 and 6. Starting with verse 5. Your lamb must be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you must keep it until the 14th day of the same moon. Then the whole multitude of the congregation of Israel is to kill it between the two evenings. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Get you a lamb, a kid, a calf, a fawn, and kill it between the two evenings. That's on the clock, that's from noon to sunset, for the most part. But does this law of Yahweh actually command his people to get or keep up an animal like this for slaughter? Is this what you're supposed to do at Passover? Well, what is actually said in the original Hebrew of Exodus 12, verses 5 and 6, will surprise you totally. But then again, if you've been listening to pastor's sermons, it won't. The word your lamb the words your lamb that are written in Exodus 12, verse 5, are translated from the Hebrew word shah. This word is listed on page 1526 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means Yahweh will provide a lamb for the offering. You are the lamb for the offering, my child. The words must be and you must that are written in Exodus 12 verse 5 and Exodus 12 verse 6 are translated from the Hebrew word Yahia that is written in Exodus 12 verse 5 and the Hebrew word Haya that is written in Exodus 12, verse 6. They're the same word under different conjugational spellings. These two words are listed on page 354 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows these two words are the same word in two different spellings, as I said, and means a representation of what moves. The words without blemish that are written in Exodus 12 verse 5 are translated from the Hebrew word tamim. This word is listed on page 1477 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means blameless, innocent, upright, an upright one, one who is reverent, perfect, of the law of Yahweh, perfect in knowledge, upright toward Yahweh, to walk blamelessly, to be true. The word first that is written in Exodus 12, verse 5, is translated from the Hebrew word ben. This word is listed on page 214 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means morally like Yahweh. In other words, you have the same standard of personal conduct he has. The word year that is written in Exodus 12, verse 5, is translated from the Hebrew word shana. This word is listed on page 1605 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means to teach, to come a second time. Or in other words, you've already been there once, but you're coming back. The word keep that is written in Exodus 12, verse 6, is translated from the Hebrew word mashamarat. This word is listed on page 882 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means guard, to be under guard, prison. The word it that is written in Exodus 12, verse 6, referring to the lamb, is translated from the Hebrew word at, aleph tav. This word is listed on page 131 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary, that's volume 1, 131 of volume 1, by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word is the first of the Atbash codes, which is aleph tav. Therefore, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, this Hebrew word and the Atbash code for it that is listed in Revelation verses 1-8 and Revelation 1-11 shows this word is an Atbash code and is speaking of Yeshua Messiah. The word kill that is written in Exodus 12:6 is translated from the Hebrew word shakatu. This word is listed on page 1367 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to kill, to massacre. The bribery of those that turn aside of judges, that they have no conscience. The words between the two evenings that are written in Exodus 12:6 are translated from the Hebrew phrase ben ha-orabim. This phrase is listed on page 536 of the Humash. This is of the book Exodus of the Humash and Targum Onkelos Haftarot and Rashi's commentary, which says this phrase means from 12 noon to 6 to until sunset. So this is what Exodus 12 verse 5 is actually saying. You must become that lamb Yahweh has provided for this offering, taken to be of the flock, the congregation. You must be like Yeshua the Messiah, who is to come, an innocent, righteous man who is like Yahweh and reverences Yahweh, who will come to teach and who will come again. You may take this from the sheep or from the goats. And as Yeshua said, we are to separate. The sheep are to separate from the goats. The goats representing people that are sinners, the sheep representing those that are walking in the righteousness of Yahweh, as it is written in Matthew chapter 25. Moshe, the teachers working with him, and the prophets and apostles who came after Moshe were saying the lambs that are to be offered at the house of Yahweh are us, and not some little clean animal like a lamb, a kid, a calf, or a fawn. We must become these Passover lambs just like Yeshua is and was. Turn to page 473. We're going to read Psalm 100, verse 3. Because there's a lot about this, and there's a lot more I could talk about, but we would be here to the Feast of Tabernacles. Page 473, Psalm 100, verse 3. The scripture reads, "Know that Yahweh is our Father. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep, the lambs of His pasture." Now, how can we offer ourselves as Yahweh's Passover lambs? Do we go get ourselves kosher killed, get your throat cut, so we can die a kosher death? Do we then go and get ourselves roasted with fire so someone then can eat us? May it never be. Yahweh tells you how He wants you to be offered. Turn to page 235 in your book of Yahweh. We're looking at 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Page 235 in your book of Yahweh. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Then Samuel said, "Has Yahweh as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." The word "better" that is written in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, is translated from the Hebrew word "tub." This one is listed on page 219 of the Hebrew and English Dictionary, Biblical and Rabbinical, by Marcus Breslau, which shows this word means true. The word "than" in the phrase "than sacrifice" and "than the fat of lambs" that are written in 1 Samuel 15, 22 is translated from the Hebrew word "man." This word is listed on pages 828 through 830 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, but Judas first, which shows this word means "from the beginning of a truth, truly." The word "the fat of rams" that are written in 1 Samuel 15, 22 are listed in Leviticus 8, 18, and 28, letting Scripture interpret Scripture. Leviticus 8, verses 18 to 28 shows these words mean "as a pleasing aroma to Yahweh." The word "listen" that is written in 1 Samuel 15, 22 is translated from the Hebrew word "lahakashib." This word is listed on page 1263 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means "to listen to Yahweh and obey." So this is what Samuel was saying in 1 Samuel 15, 22. Then Samuel said, "Has Yahweh as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, from the beginning, to obey is the true sacrifice. For to listen to Yahweh and obey Him is that which pleases Yahweh." We offer ourselves to Yahweh on Passover. We become the Passover lambs by listening to and obeying Him. That is what pleases Yahweh, to listen to the one sent. Now turn on page 16. Remember, Yahweh said, "I will provide the sacrifice for Passover." That is written in Genesis 22, verse 12, on page 16. Page 16. And he said, now this is where Abraham was told to take his son Yitzhak, slaughter him, and have him as a burnt offering. But Yahweh at the last minute said, "Nope, don't do that." This is what he said. And he said, "Do not put your hand on the young man, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you reverence Yahweh, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." He wasn't looking for a sacrifice. He was going to see if Abraham was willing to obey him no matter what. and Abraham did. Yahweh honors those who love and obey him, no matter what Yahweh calls on them to do. This is what Abraham did. And as Genesis 22:12 shows, Yahweh had no person offered as a blood or burnt offering. Yahweh is simply looking for those who, like Abraham, will offer themselves as his obedient servants and nothing else. This is what Yahweh says is the pleasing aroma to him, as he speaks of in Leviticus 8, verses 18 to 28. When you listen to Yahweh and obey him, no matter what, to him you smell great, and he likes what he sees you doing. Turn to 1 Yochanan 3:22 on page 966. Page 966, 1 Yochanan 3:22, or 1 John 3:22. Page 966. Page 966. Where it reads, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." But despite the fact that Yahweh himself says, the offering he wants you to give is yourself in service to him, and as we will see, to your fellow man, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he doesn't want you to offer a little lamb as a burnt offering. There are people out there, including many who have let Satan enter their hearts, that caused them to leave Yahweh's house, who insist that to be righteous, you must sacrifice clean animals like an actual lamb, kid, calf, or fawn in order to keep Passover. These people actually think they are following Yahweh. But as you just saw, Yahweh said they aren't. He didn't want that lamb sacrificed. He wanted you to obey him and them too. Yahweh is not interested in blood offerings or burnt offerings, only obedience and service. And he tells you why. Turn to Hebrews 10, verses 4 through 8, page 949. I don't know how many times when people brought this up, you got to sacrifice that Passover lamb. You're not serving Yahweh unless you sacrifice that Passover lamb. They can't get around this scripture right here. And they don't like it when you bring it up. And you can see the wailing and gnashing of teeth that comes up when they bring it up. And you tell them what this scripture says. Page 949, Hebrews 10, verses 4 through 8. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not want, but a body you have prepared for me.'" That's you, the house of Yahweh. "In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure." In fact, as we're going to find out, those that offer sacrifices like these people do, Yahweh says they stink. They smell bad. "Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O Yahweh.'" And that should be every one of our promises to him too. First, he says, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not want, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." The word law that is written in Hebrews 10, verse 8, is translated from the Hebrew word hakah. This word is listed on page 496 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means to imitate the customs of the heretics. Offer a lamb, burn that offering, and you're imitating heresies, heretics, pagans, heathens. What Hebrews 10 verses 4 through 8 is saying is, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not want, but a body you have prepared for me. Is that not what he's doing with us? In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. No, he said, they stink. We'll see that in Scripture in a minute. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O Yahweh. First, he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offering for sin you did not want, nor had pleasure in them. I don't know anybody has pleasure in something that stinks. Which are offered according to the customs of those who are heretics. That is, the worshipers of the gods, the Elohim. Yahweh actually says that blood and burnt offerings, even of clean animals, is not what he wants at all. It is useless, and whoever wants to do this in this day and age is a devil worshiper and an heretic. In fact, Yahweh cannot stand burnt or blood offerings of even clean animals so much that he says the sacrifices of this are a stench in his nostrils. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 29 on page 578. Page 578 in your book of Yahweh. That's Jeremiah 6:20. Jeremiah 6, verse 20 on page 578. Page 578. What do I care about frankincense from Sheba, or about sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor are your sacrifices sweet, pleasing to the smell, to me. In other words, you and your offerings stink. In fact, Yahweh says that he did not tell anyone to offer sacrifices or burnt offerings, even in the day that they were brought out of Egypt. Instead, he told them to walk in his ways and obey him. Just look over a page or two to Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 22 and 23 on page 579. Page 579. Jeremiah 7, 22 and 23 on page 579 in the book of Yahweh, Jeremiah. Verse 22, for I did not speak to your fathers or command them about burnt offerings or sacrifices in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. But this thing I commanded them, saying, obey, obey, obey my voice, and I will be your father, and you will be my people, and walk in all my ways that I have commanded you, so it may be well with you. We know that Yeshua Messiah took this prophecy to heart. In all of the writings about Yeshua, not one writer ever said he offered even one burnt offering or blood sacrifice. Instead, Yeshua Messiah taught his disciples and followers to offer themselves in service to Yahweh and to serve others. Scripture shows he devoted his life to this task. Now, many churches and other religious groups think that Yeshua Messiah, whom they call Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, or other names, offered himself as a sort of substitute for a burnt offering or blood offering so that they don't have to keep all the laws of Yahweh, which is often called the law of Moses, or that old Jewish law. They think and teach that by Yeshua's shed blood, they are actually cleansed of all the sins they are committing. They mean the actual blood itself. So they can more or less do whatever they want, including eating dangerous foods like pork, going to worship on whatever day they please, and celebrating whatever pagan holidays they want to keep. As a result, they are in the very same boat that those who want to sacrifice a Passover lamb are in. They are going against Yahweh and his plan, which says the true sacrifice Yahweh wants his people to offer is to offer themselves in obedience and service to him and to their fellow man, to love their neighbor as themselves. And Yeshua Messiah made this quite clear. Turn to Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40 on page 750. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. On page 750 in the book of Yahweh, that's Matthew 22, 34, 40 in a Bible. I hope if you have a Bible that you will get you a book of Yahweh to go with it and use the book of Yahweh and have the Bible as kind of a historical reference of how fouled up things once were. Verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, a lawyer, an expert in the law of Yahweh, that is a rabbi, asked Yeshua a question to test him, saying, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Yeshua said to him, You must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment, to love Yahweh. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang depend all the law and the prophets. Everything in the plan of Yahweh is based on these two laws. Everything. To love Yahweh and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is what Passover is about. This is the Passover offering Yahweh wants you to offer. To offer yourself in service to Yahweh and in service to your neighbor and your fellow man. This lawyer, a rabbi, who questioned Yahshua about this, openly admits that this is true. And what he admitted to Yahshua is chronicled in Yochanan Mark 12, 32 through 34 on page 774. And he has said it as well or better than anyone can on what type of sacrifice Yahweh wants you to offer. Page 774. Yochanan Mark 12, 32 through 34. Then the scribe said to him, Teacher, you have rightly said the truth, for there is one mighty one, our Father in heaven, and there is none but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength. And to have one's neighbor as him, and to love one's neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Even if it was lawful to sacrifice a lamb, it is overruled by the law of Yahweh, which says there's something better. Because Yahweh wants the sacrifice of love and service. He wants you to offer yourself in love and in service to him and to your fellow man. This is what the plan of Yahweh is all about. This is what salvation is all about. So why should anyone want to sacrifice a Passover lamb when one can offer themselves in service to Yahweh and have it all? We're marching toward a kingdom, salvation. Why would we want to throw that away just so we could have a barbecue? It doesn't make sense. It simply doesn't make sense. But people still fall for this lie. Yet despite this, there are still people who say to be righteous, one must sacrifice a Passover lamb. Now, I admit there are some excellent recipes out there for a roast lamb, broiled steak, roast red deer. And they're yummy. But Yahshua said, if you're sacrificing that lamb to keep Passover, no matter how yummy it is, Yahshua says repeatedly in Matthew chapter 6, that's all you've got. If you're offering that Passover lamb and enjoying it barbecued on your plate, you have your reward. You're not getting anything else. The prophets knew that the true sacrifice Yahshua Messiah would teach his followers to offer is to love and serve Yahweh and all those and their fellow men. As 1 Yochanan 3:22 says, this is what is pleasing to Yahweh in Yahweh's sight. In fact, Yahweh repeatedly said he was very pleased with Yahshua doing this. He kept saying, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is what the prophets had to say about what Yahshua would do. Turn to Isaiah 53, verse 10 in your book of Yahweh. I'm going to read it from the King James Version Bible. Isaiah 53:10, King James Version Bible. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. Oh, really? Yahweh has fun beating up on somebody like Yahshua? He hath put him to grief. He likes watching him suffer. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He beats him up, watches him suffer, and then he's still going to say, you did a good job. That makes no sense. The words yet and the word and in the clause, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand, that is written in Isaiah 53:10, is translated from the Hebrew with conjunction wa. This word is listed on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means because. The words pleased and pleasure that are written in Isaiah 53:10 are translated from the Hebrew word hafatz. This word is listed on pages 334 and 335 of Cassinius Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows this word means to do the pleasure of Yahweh, to do that which is pleasing in his sight. The word when that is written in Isaiah 53:10 is translated from the Hebrew word am. This word is listed on page 108 of a Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament, but Julius first, which shows this word means lo or behold. The word thou shalt make an offering for sin that are translated from the Hebrew word that are written in Isaiah 53:10 are translated from the Hebrew word asham. This word listed on pages 160 and 161 of the Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament, which shows this word means to be exterminated, a trespass offering. And the guilty gave their hands to bring a ram for their trespass. The word prosper that is written in Isaiah 53 verse 10 is translated from the Hebrew word yatsalak. This word is listed on page 644 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to prosper or to make an increase. So this is what Isaiah 53:10 is saying. Because he did that which is pleasing in Yahweh's sight, he was bruised and brought to grief. Behold, his life was taken by those guilty of sin to be like a ram, an offering for their sins. Because he did that which is pleasing in Yahweh's sight, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. He's going to live forever. And his hand shall increase. Through his example, many will follow him and walk in Yahweh's ways. Even the prophets saw that Yahshua would show by his life and example that the true sacrifice to Yahweh is not a nice-smelling Passover sacrifice of a clean animal, but doing the word of loving and serving Yahweh and one's fellow man. Now, there are quite a few scriptures about this. I could not bring all of them. But the ones I want to bring, I hope that you will see. There are many others you can tell. They're saying the same thing. Eventually, we hope to get them all corrected. But we're going to have a nice start today. Turn to Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 and 28 on page 755. Page 755 in your book of Yahweh, Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. And as they were eating, Yahshua took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this represents my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, you drink all of it, for this represents my blood of the renewed covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The word body that is written in Matthew 26:26 is translated from the Hebrew word bashar. This word is listed on page 245 of a Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means living body, living beings, a life. The word blood that is written in Matthew 26:28 is translated from the Hebrew word dam and is formed dama. A Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First. A Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, pages 330 through 332, shows these two words mean life, likeness, to become like, to make oneself like. The word renewed that is written in Matthew 26:28 is translated from the Hebrew word hakadash. This word is listed on page 294 of volume 1 of the Hebrew, Aramaic, English, an Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Coyland Baum Cardner. That's page 294, volume 1 of this work, which shows this word means to restore. In other words, to bring something back to the way it was. The word shed that is written in Matthew 26:28 is translated from the Hebrew word shafak. This word is listed on page 1049 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means to point out one's heart, to pour out one's heart. In other words, to devote or to love. So what was said in Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28 is this. And as they were eating, Yahshua took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This represents my life, which I have shared with you. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, you drink all of it. For this represents my life's work, the restoration of the covenant, which I devoted to many, for the remission of their sins, that they become like me. I don't see anything thrown in the fire there, do you? Yochanan Mark 14, verses 22 through 24, page 776. Yochanan Mark 14, verses 22 through 24, it's page 776. If you have a Bible, it just says Mark 14, 22 through 24. And as they ate, Yahshua took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this represents my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank all of it. For he said to him, this represents my blood of the covenant, which is shed for many. The word body that is written in Yochanan Mark 14:22 is translated from the Hebrew word bashar. This word is listed on page 245 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means living body, living beings, in other words, a life. The word blood that is written in Yochanan 14:24 is translated from the Hebrew word root word dam and its form dama. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, pages 330-332, shows these two words mean life, likeness, to become like, to make oneself like. The word shed that is written in Yochanan Mark 14:24 is translated from the Hebrew word shafak. This word is listed on page 1049 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means to pour out one's heart, to devote, to love. So this is what Yochanan Mark says about these things. Chapter 14, verses 22 to 24. And as they ate, Yahshua took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat. This represents my life, which I have shared with you. He devoted his life to them. He poured out his heart to them. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank all of it. For he said to them, this represents my life's work, the restoration of the covenant, which I devoted to many. That's my life. I devoted to many, that they become like me. When these are translated from the original Hebrew, these three scriptures, three different books, they say about the same thing. Turn to Luke 22, verses 19 and 20 on page 809. Luke 22, verses 19 and 20 on page 809. Page 809 of your book of Yahweh. Then he took bread. Well, I'll just a second. I'll give you a couple more minutes. I don't want to go too fast. Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, page 809. Then he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this represents my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the meal, he also took the cup, saying, this cup represents the covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Again, the word body that is written in Luke 22:19 is translated from the same Hebrew word bashar that we've talked about a couple of scriptures. This word is listed on page 245 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means living body, living beings. In other words, a life. The word given that is written in Luke 22, verse 19, is translated from the Hebrew word natan. This word is listed on page 959 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to devote. The word blood that is written in Luke 22, verse 20, is translated from the Hebrew word dam and is formed dama. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, pages 330 through 332, shows these two words mean life, likeness, to become like, to make oneself like. The word shed that is written in Luke 22, verse 20, is translated from the Hebrew word shafak. This word is listed on page 1049 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means to pour out one's heart, to devote oneself, to love. So this is what Luke 22, verses 19 and 20 is saying. Then he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This represents my life, which I have devoted to you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup represents the restoration of the covenant, my life's work, which I devoted to you, that you become like me." And there's an apostle, we'll talk about him in a minute, that said the same thing. Turn to John, Yochanan 6, verses 51 to 56. Yochanan 6, verses 51 to 56. On page 821 in the book of Yahweh, that's John 6, verses 51 through 56. John chapter 6, verses 51 to 56, or Yochanan 6, 51 to 56 on page 821. Yahshua says these things. "I am the living bread out of Yahweh, which came down. If any man eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Because of this, the Yehudim quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Now here is where we talk about one of the biggest problems. Here's where we talk about one of the biggest problems of a Bible translation. We know from the Tischendorf manuscript that the so-called New Testament was really written in Hebrew. Because the Tischendorf manuscript of the Bible is a Septuagint, but it went from Genesis to Revelation, not just Genesis to Malachi. You also have the Talmudic and vowel pointing that was going on. So when Yahshua is saying these words, they, not knowing what was originally written here, actually took it. He's saying, "We got to eat him." Now, what's he trying to tell us? We got to cut a steak off of him and eat him? Then Yahshua said to him, see, he's sitting there saying in Greek and in the Greek translations and in the Masoretic Hebrew translations and things that you actually have to eat him. You have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But in the original Hebrew, it doesn't say that. And we'll find out. Because of this, the Yehudim quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They were thinking of their bellies or what they thought they shouldn't put in it. While Yahshua was talking about the true offering that Yahweh is looking for and those who want to be his. Then Yahshua said to them, "Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And that is the entire basis of the Holy Eucharist of the Christian church. You don't eat that wafer. You don't sip that little shot of wine. You're not going to be saved. And many of them, they teach that. It's also called Holy Communion occasionally. "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day.
Oh, yeah, you had plenty of that little wafer and plenty of that wine or grape juice, and you're in.
That's about as far as they go with it. For my flesh represents the true food, and my blood represents the true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. The words eat and eats that are written in Yochanan 6:51 and Yochanan 6, verses 53 to 56, are translated from the Hebrew word akal. This word is listed on page 84 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to devour words, that is, to receive them greedily.
In other words, study. Get those words into your head. Get those words into your heart. Take them in like you were dying of thirst, or you have a big old T-bone steak waiting to be chomped on. Now, the T-bone steak won't help you, but the words will. So you should be more desirous of those than anything else. And even the psalmist said, they are to be more desired than the finest gold, which is what we're wearing now represents.
The word flesh that is written in Yochanan 6:51 and Yochanan 6:53 to 56 is translated from the Hebrew word bashar. This word is listed on page 245 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means living body, living things, somebody's alive. The word drink that is written in Yochanan 6, verses 53 to 56 is translated from the Hebrew word shatak. This word is listed on page 1450 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, shows this word means to take in greedily.
To drink wisdom. Wisdom! Learn the Proverbs. Learn the Psalms. Learn the great sayings of Yahweh. Wisdom. Take this in. Drink it in. Take it in.
The word blood that is written in Yochanan 6:53-56 is translated from the Hebrew root word dam, and it's formed dama. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, pages 330-332. Pages 330 through 332 shows these two words mean like, likeness, to become like, to make oneself like. So this is what Yochanan 6, verses 51 to 56 is actually saying. I represent the living bread out of Yahweh, which came down. If any man me receives my word, this bread, he will live forever. And the words that I will give to be received are my life, which I will give for the life of the world. Because of this, the Yehudim, because they did not understand he was talking in a pure language rather than that butchered vowel point system or the Greek, they thought he still was talking about eating him. They thought they were going to have to put him on a spit and barbecue him and cut him up for a steak. Because of this, the Yehudim quarreled among themselves, saying, "Now, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Yahshua said to them, "Truly I say to you, unless you receive the words of life of the Son of Man and take in the wisdom of his life, that you become like me, you have no life in you." Learn from him. Live like him. Be like him. Or you have no life in you. He receives the words of my life and takes in the wisdom of my life, that he becomes like me, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Yekeziah chapter 37.
For my life represents the true food, and my life represents the true wisdom. He receives the word of my life and takes in the wisdom of my life, that he becomes like me, remains in me, and I in him.
Have you heard anything about sacrificing an animal in any of this? What have you heard? Be like Yahshua. Love Yahweh. Love your neighbors yourself. Be of service. Now, I pray you're understanding what the sacrifice is that we are to give. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25 on page 895. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25 on page 895. 895 in the book of Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 25. For I received from Yeshua that which I also delivered to you, that Yeshua, Messiah, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This represents my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup represents the renewing of the covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The word body that is written in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 is translated from the Hebrew word bashar.
Same word, same meaning.
A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon of the Old Testament by Julius First, page 245, shows this word means
a living body. Living beings, in other words, life.
The word broken that is written in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 is translated from the Hebrew word pharas.
Pharas.
Pronunciation. This word is listed on page 1232 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jasper, which shows this word means to share. The word renewing that is written in 1 Corinthians 11, 25 is translated from the Hebrew word hakadash. This word is listed on page 294 of volume 1 of the Hebrew and Aramaic Lexicon of the Old Testament by Cowheeler and Baumgartner, which shows this word means to restore. The word end that is written in 1 Corinthians 11, 25 is translated from the Hebrew conjunction ba. This word is listed on page 56 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means through. The word blood that is written in 1 Corinthians 11, 25 is translated from the Hebrew root word dam and its form dama. A Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, pages 330 through 332, shows these two words mean life, likeness, to become like, to make oneself like. So what 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 25 is saying is this. For I received from Yeshua that which I also delivered to you, that Yeshua Messiah on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This represents my life, which I have shared with you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup represents the restoration of the covenant through my life, that you become like me. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This information, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25, is the same information we showed you in the books of Matthias, Yochanan, Mark, and Luke. Yeshua repeatedly said he came to offer himself as a servant to Yahweh and mankind.
He didn't come to be a ruler or a big shot or to sacrifice anything or kill any animal, throw the blood around, or barbecue anything. An interesting thing about all this, there is a lot in the book of Hebrews that talks about these things as well. And I can tell you there's a lot more than I can bring today. But I thought I would bring some of the better ones here. So turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14 on page 948. Hebrews chapter 9, 11 through 14 on page 948. 948, page 948 in your book of Yahweh. But the Messiah came near as a high priest. He was higher than a high priest. He was a patriarch. That's why he was assassinated. Even Pilate knew he was higher in authority than the high priest. And they only wanted him dead because of petty jealousy.
Over the righteous things to come, with the greater, more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of creation, this creation. Nor through the blood of goats and calves.
Wait a minute. Now, we just got to being told by someone we're supposed to offer a Passover lamb.
But not through the blood of goats and calves,
but through his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a red heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more will the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Yahweh, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Father? And I can't think of anything as more dead works than sacrificing a lamb. That poor lamb is dead in a doornail and getting cooked up to beside. The word tabernacle that is written in Hebrews 9, verse 11, is translated from the Hebrew word shekan. The Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jasper, volume 2, pages 1514 and 1575, and the Hebrew and Counting Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, pages 205, 531, 880, 1333, 1384, and 1402 show this word means dwelling, habitation, Yahweh. May Yahweh, who caused his name to dwell in this house, let dwell among you love and brotherhood and Abel. The word creation that is written in Hebrews 9, verse 11, is translated from the Hebrew word bara. This word is listed on page 192 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jasper, which shows this word means to create, plan. When Yahweh wanted to create man, for he, Yahweh, first created all the means for life for his support, and then he, Yahweh, created Adam. The word blood in the phrase is blood of goats and calves and blood of bulls and goats that are written in Hebrews 9, verses 12 and 13 are translated from the Hebrew word damah. This word is listed on page 312 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jasper, which shows this word means expensive life to kill, the blood that escapes when the animal's throat is cut. The word blood in the phrase is his own blood and blood of Messiah that are written in Hebrews 9, 12, and 9, 14 are translated from the Hebrew root word dam and its form dama. This word is listed on page 312 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastro, which shows this word means life, on the life of a donkey. Let me first keep a 221 interpret Hebrews 9, 11 through 14. The Hebrew word dam that is written in Hebrews 9, 12 and Hebrews 9, 14 also means to walk in his steps, to live as he lived. The words eternal spirit that are written in Hebrews 9:14 are translated from the Hebrew word ruach. This word is listed on page 1287 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means the word of Yahweh. So what Hebrews chapter 9 verses 11 to 14 is saying is this: but the Messiah came near as a high priest over the righteous things to come, with the great and more perfect house of Yahweh at Abel, not made with hands, that is, not by any man, nor through the blood of goats and calves, but through his life he lived, and the life of the donkey who is to come will live. Walking in his steps, they entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a red heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more will the life of the Messiah lived, and the donkey who is to come will live, walking in Messiah's steps, who through the word of Yahweh offered themselves without spot to Yahweh? Did they sacrifice themselves? Did they get kosher killed? Did they get cooked? No. What did they do? They were servants to Yahweh and their fellow men. May these things purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Father. Dead works, killing and sacrificing a lamb, something that Yahweh says stinks horribly, along with the one doing it. Yahweh has made it quite clear that he wanted Yeshua and his followers to offer themselves like this. And he tells the witness Israel, And he tells the witnesses, Jacob and Israel, and we who follow him, that we must make this same sacrifice. Turn to Isaiah 41, verse 14 on page 555 in your book of Yahweh. Isaiah 41, verse 14. Isaiah 41, verse 14. We just have a few more scriptures.
Isaiah 41, verse 14 on page 555. And we're going back to another part of Hebrews.
Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The words you worm that are written in Isaiah 41, verse 14 are translated from the Hebrew word tulot. This word is listed on page 762 of the Analytical Hebrew and County Lexicon by Benjamin Davis, which shows this word means scarlet color, scarlet clothes, or garments. Remember the scripture, though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. In other words, it represents sin. The word men that is written in Isaiah 41, verse 14 is translated from the Hebrew word mati. This word is listed on page 790 of a Hebrew and County Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means a crime that should be punished with death, a crime worthy of death. The words, I will help you, that are written in Isaiah 41, verse 14, are translated from the Semitic word, ozaratik. This word is listed on page 469 of a comprehensive etymological dictionary of the Hebrew language for readers of English by Ernest Klein, which shows this word means to excuse, to forgive, to exculpate, that means to remove from blame, to help. What Isaiah 41 verse 14 is saying is this: fear not, Jacob and Israel. Your garments are scarlet, but I have forgiven your sins and have removed your blame from them, says Yahweh the Redeemer,
the Holy One of Israel.
Well, go back to Hebrews, please. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, on page 949, please. Hebrews 10, verse 10. We'll be staying in Hebrews for a few minutes, for a couple of things. And by that will we are sanctified through the offering his body, of the body of Yeshua Messiah once for all. The word body that is written in Hebrews 10, 10 is translated from the Hebrew word bashar. As we have heard many times, this word is listed on page 245 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means living body, living beings, somebody alive, alive. The words once for all that are written in Hebrews 10, 10 are translated from the Hebrew word vom. This word is listed on page 1144 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means only once. So what Hebrews 10, verse 10 is saying is, and by that will we are sanctified through the offering of the life of Yeshua Messiah only once. Because after all these things, if you sin now, there is no more sacrifice for sin. Because as far as Yahweh is concerned, you spat in his face, and he will turn away. Turn to Hebrews verse, you look at verse 12, Hebrews 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of Yahweh. The word but that is written in Hebrews 10, verse 12 is translated in this case from the Greek diaglot, the Greek word day that appears in this verse as is written in Hebrews 12 in the Greek. Both the Dulwich and Salkinson Ginsburg Hebrew manuscripts of Hebrews 10, 12 show that this Greek word day that is written in the Greek is a Greek translation of the Hebrew word Abel. Now this word can mean but it also is the name Abel. The word one that is written in Hebrews 10:12 is translated from the Hebrew word akad. This word is listed on page 56 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means one, the only one. Soul, that is the only one. Only. So what Hebrews 10:12 is saying is, this man, after at Abel he had offered the one and only sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of Yahweh. He offered himself as an example in love and service. He didn't sacrifice lambs. Yahweh wasn't looking for that. He was looking for those that are willing to serve. Yeshua never retaliated. He never retaliated at all. He said, turn the other cheek. Even when he was arrested
and faced being assassinated for no reason, for a crime that he never committed,
he refused to save himself.
And he had the power and resources to do so.
Turn to Matthew 26. Let's look at page 53 and 54.
This innocent servant of Yahweh, this is what he told one of his disciples when they tried to fight back, when they tried to arrest him.
Page 756, Matthew 26, verses 53 and 54. Do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, who at once would give me more than 12 legions of Malachim? But then, how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that all this must be so?
Turn the other cheek. If you get yelled at for no reason, take it. Take it as part of your growth. Don't fight back. And I know someone else, when they tried to arrest him, did the same thing. He didn't fight back. Anybody know who that guy is? Yes,
he didn't fight back. He didn't fight.
And he never lost his nerve and ran away like a scared cat. He stayed there and went through it and rode it out. He didn't run. He didn't hide across the ocean or anywhere else. And when Yahweh delivered him from his enemies, all he said was, I want no revenge. All I want is for us to be left alone so we can serve Yahweh. We must be the same way. Pastor has sought to be exactly like Yeshua. He doesn't retaliate. He doesn't get back at anyone. He doesn't turn and run out of fear, out of cowardice. He stays and he rides it through. Because that's what Yeshua did and what the word of Yahweh says we must do. For our last scripture, please turn to 1 Kefa 2, verses 18 through 21 on page 958. That's 1 Peter in the King James or other Bibles. Chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. 1 Kefa. Everyone listen to what the apostle said here. Because everything he said he learned from Yeshua and the prophets he studied that came before Yeshua. Servants, be subject to your rulers with all respect, not only to the kind and gentle, but also to the harsh. The Apostle Shaw said, if somebody's treating you badly, your righteous conduct might convince them to convert. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering. Because he is conscious of Yahweh. Now what glory is it if you receive a beating for doing wrong and you endure it? But if you suffer for doing righteousness and you endure it, this is commendable for Yahweh. Because you are doing that which is pleasing in his sight. He likes what he sees. He likes what he smells. And you don't stink. For to this you were called to do righteousness, because for doing righteousness, Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example to follow, that you should follow his steps. And that's what it's all about. This is the sacrifice Yahweh wants you to do. And I'd like to also report to you now, since some people are thinking we're supposed to sacrifice Passover lambs, well, I don't know where you are, but we got you covered. I am glad to report to you that 830 lambs were offered at the house of Yahweh as the Passover offering this Passover. Brothers and sisters, look at one another with love and friendship. You are those 830 lambs.